Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Rowe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Todd Richards, Predators assistant coach, will be with us later this hour at 7:30. Preds taking on the St. Louis Blues tonight at Bridgestone Arena. Charles Robinson will be with us 1 hour from now. We'll get into the Titans and all things NFL with him. So looking forward to that discussion with Charles Robinson later in the show. Joe, speaking of the Titans, they made a move at quarterback yesterday, signing Tim Boyle at quarterback, which means the quarterback room at the moment, Joe, consists of Brandon Allen, Will Levis, and Tim Boyle as your quarterbacks for the Titans. Now, look, as somebody who has been familiar with Tim Boyle before, he was a backup for the Packers once upon a time. He's a great friend of Aaron Rodgers, so keep that for what it's worth. Not a very gifted quarterback. Really wasn't all that good in college when you go back and look at his numbers. And then when he has gotten into NFL action, it has not gone well for Tim Boyle. So Tim Boyle, over his career, has basically, Joe, I think, been a guy that is very good, clearly, to have in the room. Like, his teammates absolutely love him. Like, I've heard a lot of quarterbacks talk about how much they love Tim Boyle. The on-the-field part of this is almost non-existent from him in terms when you look back at his career. So I don't know how much of this has anything to do with, like, him actually being in any position whatsoever to ever play for the Titans. But what did you make of the Tim Boyle signing by Tennessee yesterday?
Well, I feel like there's some disagreement on this one. And actually, it seems like PK is not thinking the same way I am. You know, basically like, well, why is he a threat to Will Levis? But to me, this has to mean they're moving to Will Levis, right? Why bother to do this? This now means that you would have Allen as your two, and then Boyle would be your third QB, the guy you love in the building, the guy who he'll play a half of these preseason games, right, and help you get through the preseason game. So why doesn't this, to me, this further confirms that they're going to move Will Levis.
Oh, I think I'm with you there. I'm just saying, if people think that he's going to come in and like be the two, that ain't happening.
Yeah,
that ain't happening.
Yeah, no, I think that he's your three. He's your, you know, he's your camp, because that's the thing, you know, when it was like it was before, it was kind of like, well, they do need still that third quarterback. So, you know, whatever, you know, you could have Levis as QB2 and then Allen's QB3, and he's the guy. Okay, well, now you've gotten the QB3 who helps you get through camp.
Yeah.
So if you're doing that, I understand we're not talking a lot of money here, but why spend 1 cent on anyone if the corresponding one, you know, the corresponding move isn't Will Levis is out?
Right? Yeah, I mean, look, it's always made, you know, we talked about it the day after the season ended last year, Joe. Like, it's always made zero sense to me that Will Levis is going to be on the roster next year. Like, once you cut bait and you move on from a guy who's supposed to be your franchise quarterback, like, I just don't think it does you or him a whole lot of good to ever bring him back. So, you know, I don't know how much interest is going to be out there for Will Levis. I'm sure somebody will be interested in like a 6th round pick swap or whatever it would be, the price there. And we, you know, yesterday we talked about Jacksonville. I think a team like that, that has a starter that's entrenched, that doesn't really need a veteran, like older backup quarterback, and take a shot on a younger guy, I think that's kind of the profile of what teams will be willing to take a chance on him. But yeah, like, I'm with you. Like, you bring in Tim Boyle, I don't think you're doing that if your plan is to have Will Levis in camp next year and see if he can like battle it out with Brandon Allen. Like, this, you know, Titans fans keep coming with this idea of Levis is going to start. They're not really going to draft Cam Moore. Like, Levis is going to be the starter next year. And I've said it, like, there is a 0.0% chance that this group is starting Will Levis next year. It's just not going to happen.
Right. And so, you know, so like Corey, I mean, I see Corey Curtis here. You know, he's like, this is Corey Curtis's tweet. If you're anxious to push out Levis for Allen and Boyle, consider this. Allen is thrown for 1,800 career yards, 11 TDs, 8 picks. Boyle, 1,300 yards, 5 TDs, 13 picks. In 2 years, frustrating or not, Levis has 3,900 yards, 13 TDs, and 12 picks. He's got 2 more years, just saying. Yeah, great. But again, They're about to give this to a franchise quarterback. He's the previous try. There's a reason you don't cross the stream, so to speak, there, you know? And again, Levis is just not, I mean, Levis is just not a, to me, like your backup quarterback, somebody else's backup quarterback. I saw Terry McCormick had something similar too. Like, well, you know, Levis, I mean, again, if we're just looking at this in terms of just straight up numbers or talent or whatever, okay, fine. I understand what you're saying. He's under contract, it's cheap contract, all that stuff. But the human element of this, it's very strange to me that people don't understand why you move him. I think it's very obvious why you move him.
Right. By the way, like, yeah, I'm not replacing, looking to replace, Will Levis with Brandon Allen and these other guys. I'm replacing Cam Ward with Will Levis. That's who I'm replacing. Like, and Will Levis,
Yeah, those guys are Mason Rudolph.
right, exactly. Like, Will Levis is, he does not need to be the backup quarterback to Cam Ward. Like, first off, it's pretty awkward. Like, when you're drafted to be the franchise quarterback, and it's like, well, we've determined basically a year and a half into that that you're no good, but let's just have you hang around and be the backup to this other guy over here. And the other part is, as I said the day after the season ended, like, to me, Will Levis does not really fit the profile of a backup quarterback. Now, I'm not sure Brandon Allen would have been my choice either, but like, you want your backup quarterback to have a great understanding of what you're doing, to come in and protect the football. Like, that's what you want your backup quarterback to do. And in this situation, if you're drafting Cam Ward, you want a veteran guy that's been around that can really help and be an influence to Cam Ward in the room. And that's where I think, the combination of Allen and Boyle could be good. Like I said, just from Boyle bouncing around where he has been an incredibly popular teammate wherever he's been. So I don't know how much stock you put into that, but I think there's at least some that you have to put into that.
Yeah, it's not the end of the world if like if Lev if it didn't work out and Levis, excuse me, we're here. It wouldn't be the end of the world. I'm sure he'd handle it like a pro and all that. But yeah, it's just I just think it's the right thing to do, and that awkwardness. I don't think you just dismiss that out of hand. I mean, I think that's a real thing. You're wiping the slate clean. And look. There are still some Titans fans who think that Levis didn't get a fair shake, that Levis still could be great, all that stuff. You do open, you get a rookie comes in here, and it's rough early, which certainly can happen with a rookie. I think it's just better to not even have that guy and have the public discourse about that situation if you have him here. If he's not here, no one's going to be screaming for Brandon Allen. Well,
No.
I mean,
I mean,
someone might, but you know, for the most part, no, they won't,
well,
and they shouldn't.
and look, I think either way, like, if they kept Levis on the roster, you would have to know if you're on that team, and certainly, if you're a fan of the team, that there's an understanding going into the year that Cam Ward's the guy and it's Cam Ward's job. Having said that, I am with you. Like, I think it's a lot easier when it's Cam Ward's job and it's Brandon Allen and Tim Boyle behind him rather than Will Levis. Sometimes it's better, I think, to cut bait. Like, I'm not even denying, like, Will Levis is more talented than Brandon Allen. Will Levis is more
Of
talented
course.
by far than Tim Boyle. We all recognize that. But sometimes that's not the be all end all. Like, sometimes it's better to examine the situation, realize that it's a very weird situation with Ward coming in, and if Levis is hanging around as the backup. And I think it's better for both sides just to cut bait and move on. Like, I think that's ultimately what would be best for both sides in this. And by the way, I think that's clearly what's going to happen here at some point.
If you're giving this franchise a Cam Ward and he's going to be the face of the franchise and you're all in on Cam Ward, then everything you do has to be to help him. It is better for him for Will Levis to not be here.
Agree.
That's it. That's I mean, end it right there. It's better for him that Will Levis is not here, and so that's what you do. You know, I mean, that's because you know Ward is, as we've talked about, he's a guy who has played a lot of college football. He's a guy who will start on day one. Whether that works out or not, but he fits the career path of someone who is going to come in here and start on day one, and it's just if he understands that the other two guys in the quarterback room are purely here to support him and don't have their own aspirations of taking his job, it's a much better situation. And that means they're going to work. Those two guys understand their job solely is to help him be better. If you're Will Levis, man, I'm trying to still be a starter. I still think I'm good enough. And I don't blame him for that, but that's why you do that somewhere else.
I got one texter that says, could they trade Levis after the preseason like they did with Malik? Yeah, they could. I mean, look, they could carry four quarterbacks in camp, Joe. I don't know that I would do that, and I don't know exactly where you're splitting the reps at that point, because you've got, number one, a rookie quarterback, presumably, that would be coming in that needs as many reps as he can get, and then you're just going to split the other reps up with three guys at that point. Like, you could do it. Teams have carried four quarterbacks in camp before, and you could make a move at the end of that with potentially Levis. My guess is the move is going to happen before then. Like, it doesn't necessarily have to happen at the draft or by the draft, but I think you'll probably see a Will Levis move before training camp comes around.
I'll be shocked if it doesn't happen by the end of the draft. And again, it's the same sort of idea. If you're in training, yes, you could do that. But like if you're in training camp, and oh my God, did you see that Will Levis throw, or whatever. It's just you've turned the page, man. So turn the page literally. Well, not literally. I guess it's actually he's not actually on a book page, is he? I just broke my own
Figuratively,
rule. Yeah. Yes, exactly.
that's what happens when you fart around like that. You just
Farting A, man,
I hate you for bringing this to my attention. I'm never going to be able to watch a North Carolina basketball game ever again.
I mean, just it's I'm so mad that they're done playing because like now you can like when there was in a, they're in a huddle and he's yelling at them, they just imagine all the dialogue. It's
Oh,
amazing.
I'm very happy they're done playing, because if they were still in the tournament today, that's the only thing I'd be watching. It's like, let's just show me Hubert Davis.
It's going to be great next year. This is going to bring in more fans to college basketball next year.
615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll continue the discussion on the Titans quarterback room and Will Levis. What's next for Levis if indeed he does move on from the Titans? And will he make the Titans regret it someday? We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Our NCAA men's basketball tournament updates presented by Toyota. Fuel your adrenaline at toyota.com. Toyota. Let's go places. Also brought to you by thenewcumberland.com, Twin Peaks, and Bet365. Predators assistant coach Todd Richards will be with us coming up at 7:30. Preds taking on the St. Louis Blues later tonight. And stay tuned later this hour. I will have tickets to give away to see the Preds take on the Blues. So make sure you're tuned in for that. So, Joe, taking people's thoughts on Will Levis here. So if the Titans move him, number one, let's start here, because I think some people are a little bit out of whack with what the return's going to be on this if it happens. What do you think the Titans can get if they decide to trade Will Levis? And what's maybe a spot or two that you think would make some sense for Will Levis to go to if you're him and you're like trying to hand select a destination, knowing that it wouldn't really be that if you get traded, but you're trying to hand select a destination. What's a place that makes a lot of sense to you?
I mean, I think there's only one place that obviously comes to mind for both of those questions, and we talked about it before. It's Jacksonville. His, the Liam Cohen was his OC at Kentucky when he had his really good junior season there before Cohen left. And I don't know that Cohen leaving was the bigger issue than like a bad offensive line his senior year, but clearly, I mean, Kentucky moved on from the next OC, so I mean there were issues there. So, to me, I mean, I know having talked to Liam Cohen about Will Levis, that Liam Cohen is a huge Will Levis fan. Now, it's like someone's going to call you, for a story about a kid you coach and they're going to the NFL and you're going to, but I mean, like, this wasn't, like your typical, like, coach speak stuff. Like, he's a huge believer in Will Levis and his intangibles, too, and all that stuff. So, I could see him absolutely being interested in having Levis there and sort of pressure off and see what can happen over time. I mean, they have Trevor Lawrence. He's the quarterback. There's no controversy there, but you could still can Will Levis develop into a decent backup quarterback, which if that's the case, to your point, I guess that means he gets some of that hero ball out of his game. And then at some point, does he get another chance somewhere? You know, look, I mean, Trevor Lawrence gets hurt. Obviously, at any place, you can get an opportunity, and all of a sudden, we see sometimes these guys who we haven't heard from in a couple of years, and they come out and have three fantastic games in a row, and they sort of change their trajectory. 30 years ago, 30, I guess it would have been like 32 years ago. You know, Dan Marino gets hurt for the Dolphins. And Scott Mitchell has to play like 10 games. I mean, no, you know, whatever. Scott Mitchell, some dude from Utah, just a backup quarterback. He was great. So, of course, the Lions gave him $10 gazillion, and he wasn't what as good as they hoped. But, I mean, that's just another example of what can happen. As far as what they can get, yeah, like a pick swap, a sixth for a seventh. I mean, if they could get a fifth for him, that would be fantastic. I feel like that's unrealistic, even a fifth. I think you jump at that, but it's probably something like they trade their seventh and him and get a six back, something like that.
Yeah, like I could see a pick swap there going that way. I mean, the thing is, like, do they even have a seventh anymore? I think they're out of the seventh round now because they've moved back up with pick swaps to six. So
Okay.
it'd be interested to see. I'm just saying, like, to that point, are you getting anything more than a six? Like, you know, we had a couple people texting us in yesterday. We're like, could you get a third? Could you get a fourth? And that just, it's not gonna happen. Like,
I'd be shocked.
they're not. Yeah, I'd be stunned. Like, they're not gonna get that for Will Levis here. So I think understanding that and looking ahead to where he could end up, like, Jacksonville makes a lot of sense. But I think, like, look, I think anywhere that there's a starter firmly entrenched that doesn't necessarily have to have your typical veteran backup quarterback, your old guy who's been around the league for a while. Like, somebody's going to take a flyer on him, and then we'll see. Like, people have asked, you know, Kuharsky's talked about this. Is Levis one of those guys that could resurface 2, 3 years down the road somewhere else and end up being a good starting quarterback in the league? You know, not an elite quarterback, but a good starting quarterback in the league. Maybe. I think, Joe, I would probably be surprised by that based on watching him play. But maybe. Like, there's certainly a skill set there to work with. So maybe we do look 2 or 3 years down the road and, I don't know, Will Levis is starting in Arizona or something, and he's a good player at that point. But I still, like, I'm willing to take that chance if I'm the Titans at this point and roll the dice and let him go.
Yeah, it's one of those things that if it happens, I'd love to see it. I would love to see it. That'd be fantastic. You know, I love those stories. And he is talented, and I think he goes about his business the right way. And it would be great to see him have success. If it does happen, you know, if you're a Titans fan, I think at that point you tip your cap and say good for him. You know, it's, I mean, you really thinking, I know we do hear from some people who are like, yeah, everybody's giving up on him, but look at how bad things were. And I think there's some truth to that. I think for the most part, I think for the most part, Titans fans who watched closely last year are ready to move on from him, and you're right to feel that way. So I think it's just like it wouldn't then come back on these guys as some huge mistake, you know?
Yeah.
I know some people would want to go there if it turns out this way, but it's the right move. The information is clear. The bigger, I guess, the bigger mistake that could be made is like drafting Cam Ward and him not working out right now. And obviously that's what it comes down to is like, okay, if they're going with Cam Ward like we think, how's that work out? If Levis has this reemergence, where are the Titans at quarterback? If they're good, who cares?
Right.
But if Cam Ward's a bust, then you can come back and say, hey, you should have gone with Levis all along. I will still, if that's the case, 3 years from now, argue with those people and say, look, the information we had was that you had to move on from Levis.
Joe, real quickly before we get to Todd Richards, got one texter that says, why should I have any faith in Callahan's ability to develop Ward? He's got no history developing anybody who was going to be a star, regardless of who coached them. was brought in to develop Levis made him worse. I'm not dismissing Levis's faults, but I think it's unfair to only focus on him. This is from an unnamed texter on the text line.
Okay. I mean, again, you have to give a lot of you have to give accountability to Brian Callahan for last year, including him to a point. And I'm not just taking all of that off him and putting it all on Levis. But again, I think there's some things that happened on the field last year that were not coached, were not rehearsed, were not talked about, and were critical in some early season games being lost and a lot of things unraveling from there. I just can't, you know, I have to put more of that on number eight than on any coach.
Yeah, I would too. As far as the developing the quarterback part of it, we'll see. Like, look,
yeah, he gets another shot.
We've thrown the question out there, like, how much credit does he really get for developing Joe Burrow? I don't know. Like, Joe Burrow is probably going to be pretty good. You know, he's worked with Peyton Manning. He's worked with Matthew Stafford. He's worked with Derek Carr. So he's worked with a lot of impressive quarterbacks. Has he developed those guys? Like, I don't know. Like, he's played some part in it, but it's a fair question to bring up of, like, how responsible is he actually for those guys? And we're going to see, you know, another opportunity for him, I think, if it goes the way we think it's going to go, for him drafting and developing Cam Ward. Todd Richards, Predators assistant coach, will be with us coming up next. I have some Predators tickets to give away later this hour as well. Robbie and Rex Rowe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Rowe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Rowe, Nick Kieser here with you on this Thursday morning. Preds taking on the St. Louis Blues tonight at Bridgestone Arena. And to help us talk more about that, we head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Predators assistant coach, Todd Richards. Todd, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Good to be here. I missed you guys last time, so I remembered this morning. So it's good to be in talking with you guys again.
Well, it's good to have you with us. We appreciate your time, as always. So Todd, this will be the third time you've seen St. Louis and a little bit over the week, kind of a unique scheduling quirk there. So it's been a lot of physicality in the previous two matchups. How much do you expect that to kind of carry over tonight? And what do you make of kind of the weird scheduling here of seeing them three times in a 10-day span?
Well, it's a little bit like a playoff series. Yeah, you know, and I'm just talking about when you start playing, you know, that many games in a short amount of time. And you know, there might be a play, there might be a game, there might be, you know, a couple games where, you know, the intensity amps up a little bit. And, you know, you get some of that. But I think the way the game went in St. Louis, you know, they've beaten us, I think, twice now, two out of the three games, I think both by 4-1 scores. So, you know, we've come out on the wrong side of it. So that's a motivation right there. But I think the physicality and the way the game went in St. Louis is another reason for you know, having this game be a little bit more intense.
So Todd, a guy who, excuse me, really showing some flashes lately. I know, you know, it's been a tough season. It's been a tough season for a lot of guys, but Luke Evangelista, where do you think he is right now? And I guess how important is it to have a strong finish for him?
Well, it's important for really for everybody and, you know, individually and collectively, you know, that's what we're striving for, something that, you know, that you can build on and start preparing and getting ready for the next year, something to feel good about over the summer. And there's been some good moments and some good things, but there's been some things that you certainly want to erase or things that you have to deal with so we can get us to that point. But, you know, Luke's trending, and I guess that's what you want, you know, trending in the right direction. So he's starting to get that those opportunities. He's starting to get some of the results, which obviously makes it a little bit easier to play the game, because when you're an offensive player and you're counted on offensively, if you aren't able to produce it, it weighs on you and it makes things much, much harder. And, you know, the one thing about sports and anything is trying to work your way through the times when things aren't going your way. It's easy to play the game, easy to prepare, easy to come to the rink, easy to play when things are going right, but it's when things aren't going right. And a lot of times for young players, you know, you'll see that you'll see the ups and downs of a season, or maybe game to game, just with that. But it's identifying it, it's being able to deal with it, and then correct certain things so you can get back. And, you know, we always try to say, you know, you're going to have a couple dips here and there, but you don't want the dips to be too far down and for too long where you're looking for more of the highs. So he's trending, you know, like some of our other young guys too. So that's a good thing. But I still think we need to get a little bit more down this stretch and again, having a good feeling going into the offseason.
So, Todd, you know, it's obviously been a challenging year on defense with, you know, Lazan being out as long as he has, recently Yossi being out, and you've got the opportunity to see some young guys step into those roles. So as you look at guys like specifically Stasny and Barron and the way that they've played, what do you make of the progress that they're making and where things kind of, you know, currently stand with your young D-core here?
Well, you know, let's start with Stasny first. You know, he missed a good part of the season this year, and it's always tough to catch. I think there are certain moments that if you miss them as a player, I'm not even talking a young player. If you're a player and you miss, you know, all of training camp and you miss some significant time in the middle of the season, you know, or even down the stretch, it's hard to catch up. It's basically a moving vehicle and you're trying to jump in on the run and it's hard to catch up. Now, the thing about Stas is I think we know his game. I think he knows his game. We've seen flashes here and there of, you know, the exceptional skater that he is, you know, being able to close on guys, being able to create, you know, I'm not going to say stick handle round guys, but he can create with his legs just by beating guys up the ice. So again, you know, we talked about Luke just kind of trending and, you know, we've seen some good things from Spencer, you know, since he's been up. I think his first recall when he was here, I think there was a bit of a struggle. And I think that really came down to him just missing that time. I think, you know, playing down in Milwaukee, it allowed him to get his game in order a little bit more. And on the second call up, he's certainly been better. As far as Barron goes, I think he's probably taken the biggest strides since we've had him and kind of this last month and a half. You know, he's a pretty big kid, pretty strong kid. He's a good skater. He's got great offensive instincts. And, you know, the one thing that we asked him to work on was just his defensive game. And, you know, it's not just the physicality, which he has certainly improved on, just his battles in the corners, his battles around the net, but in just using his stick and positionally. I think you're going to see him always kind of create in the offensive zone. He's got a pretty good shot, uses his legs really well as far as getting up. I think he had a couple opportunities in Carolina, just didn't execute off the rush. One was shorthanded. But that's what he can bring, and we're happy to see the steps that he's made so far. We still want him to obviously take more steps as we conclude this season, which, again, will hopefully lead him into a good feeling, you know, and getting ready for next year. But very coachable, you know, since we got him as far as, you know, trying to give him some direction. And he's been working at it, and you're seeing the results on the ice.
So, Todd, how much right now for you guys collectively is just about, hey, you got a chance to mess some other people up? Or is it purely about, you know, let's finish strong, be pros and all that?
Well, it's I think both. I think you're always looking for motivations. You're always looking for motivations as a coach, you know, to try to sell certain things. And I think always as a player, you're always looking for things to grab onto, looking for certain motivations, you know, when you're in this position. We certainly aren't happy, and you know, everybody is different, and I'm talking about players and how they prepare and how they get ready. But you know, you're always looking for different ways to you know, get the team to play. So we've certainly talked about St. Louis, and I think that's one thing about playing these games, you know, three games within a week. It does have a little bit of a playoff feel to it. We know where they're at. We know what they're fighting for. It's a divisional rival, and we would certainly like to do nothing more than you know, make it a little bit harder on them.
Todd, I thought Saros was outstanding the other night against Carolina. I thought he was really good against Toronto as well. What do you make of kind of the way that he's trending and the way that he's playing down the stretch here?
You're 100% right. Like he was, you know, there's Carolina, that's one building I was going into. I don't like going into that building. Just the way that they play there. And you know, I thought we played a pretty good game defensively, but there were some key breakdowns and there were some moments right around our net. And it looked like the juice of old, where it looks like, it's a play right around the net, and just how quickly he's able to get across and really smother the puck. It's almost like it's not that big of a chance. So he's been good. And again, you're looking at Luke, and it's no different with a great professional like Saros. You know, he's a veteran guy that's been around, but you know, for him too, he's pushing hard at the end of the season. You can see that, you know, again, just trying to get that good feeling and getting things back that you can build on both mentally and physically over the summer that will, you know, hopefully lead into a good start for us next year.
Well, Todd, great stuff, man. Really appreciate your time today. Good luck tonight against St. Louis, and we'll see you at the rink here in a little bit.
All right. Thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely. Predators assistant coach Todd Richards, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Preds taking on the Blues tonight for the third time in the last 10 days. And speaking of that, I got some tickets to give away to see the Preds take on the Blues at Bridgestone Arena. Be caller number 5-615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. Caller 5 will win a pair of tickets to see the Preds take on the Blues tonight at Bridgestone Arena. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road coming up next. We'll have Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports with us at 8 o'clock. All that coming up. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
You've done just such a fantastic job. It's unbelievable the job you've done this year, Coach.
I ran into Coach Harbaugh in the bathroom, and he said, "Excuse me, can you spare a square?" I said, "Coach Harbaugh, for you, I'll spare the whole row."
Yeah, it's like, did I solidify it? You know, don't put that idea in my head, Cam.
I hope he's a great general manager, because I need him around for a long time.
Turn the page, literally. Well, not literally. I guess it's actually, he's not actually on a book page, is he? I just broke
figuratively
my own rule. Yeah. Yes, exactly.
That's what happens when you fart around like that. Just
farting A, man, you know?
I hate you for bringing this to my attention. I'm never going to be able to watch a North Carolina basketball game ever again.
It is that time of the day. Time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road. You can check it out every morning here on the program. Joseph, the floor is yours.
Hey, you know who doesn't replace the F word with fart? Dan Hurley.
That's true.
I just can't let this go, okay? I just can't let this go because there's an analyst on ESPN who, first of all, I'm a Virginia Tech fan, for people who don't know. So I very much rooted for Seth Greenberg when he was Virginia Tech coach. Didn't quite work out, but he did pretty good work. And I like his analysis a lot. And like all these, you know, look, these analysts who were former coaches, some are better than others at like keeping their personal biases out of it. They're all friends with a bunch of these guys, right? I mean, let's be real.
Yeah.
So like there's a certain, at times there's going to be a certain over defense of people and things like that. Greenberg sometimes just gets away. And the thing is, now I know that Billis technically coached, he was an assistant coach at Duke, but for the most part, he's been a lawyer and he's been an ESPN analyst, right? But it's amazing. They're friends. They do game day together. And it's amazing to at times see when they get arguing. And typically it's because Billis is telling it like it is and is saying things that need to be said. And Greenberg is just making ridiculous excuses for people. I mean, he's like, Greenberg has gone way overboard ripping Kentucky fans about Calipari. And it's like, yeah, I know, Seth. You know, Kentucky fans shouldn't expect them to ever get to the second weekend for 5 years in a row. You're right. What are these people thinking? You know?
Yeah.
This thing with Dan Hurley, I mean, I tweeted about it yesterday, but Seth actually says, first of all, if you heard anything, Billis, I think, was on a podcast, and he was just like, Dan Hurley needs to change. He needs to get better. Like, it's like he needs to, this is on him. Seth Greenberg talking about the tunnel being a sacred area. So I know that I've ranted about this already this week, but again, are you kidding me? A sacred area. where all the people walk. I mean, it's just insane to try to.
What does that even mean?
Again, if you're talking about the locker room, I would agree. If the reporter snuck into the locker room and had his little camera going while Hurley's in there screaming at the team about the rest, well, you know what? By golly, get after that reporter. The sacred, oh, it's the sacred area where I buy popcorn. The sacred area where I urinate in a urinal. What? It's a tunnel where people walk and anybody's allowed to talk to somebody, record something. It's insane. So Danny Hurley, I think he is a great example of, I actually think that he did a big interview, like, you know, like a post wrap up with local media. And of course he always like, hey, I appreciate you guys for not being like the Jay or not Jay Bell, you know, the Skip Bayless wannabe, you know, all that stuff. So there's a lot of, there is a lot of accountability. I mean, he understands that, like, and he said a lot of things that I think are good for him, like accountability in terms of, if I hadn't done this, you know, then basically people would be talking about how hard our players fought and all that stuff. Instead, they're talking about me. You're exactly right. That is exactly right. The quote he has here is, quote, if I don't have that emotional outburst, probably all people are talking about is the run we've had and the amazing players. But he also says, you know, first of all, he said, past the tunnel by the locker rooms in the hallway where the coaches go, that's for the combatants. That's for the competitors. That's not for the camera phones. You were walking off the court. Do you think people didn't see the video? Like, this whole thing drives me insane. Like, you were coming from the court into the tunnel when this thing happened. And Baylor was walking onto the court. And also, you're wrong. In the hallway, that's open. That is free space for any person who works there, whatever their job is and whatever they need to do. So that's BS anyway. But also, like, again, you're lying about where you were. There always has to be some excuse to go with this. There's no excuse. You said what you said. It was in a public place. You got caught, and now you have to pay for it. So again, I think Dan Hurley gets that he loses it at times, and I think he's a little more complicated than some people think he is. I do think that he is basically the closest thing in this era that we have to Bob Knight. Although I would, yeah, like Bob Knight, there's a lot of stuff about Bob Knight that was not good.
Still a little bit of a difference. Flat out
not good. Yeah. Yeah, like, you know, Bob Knight, man, there's some problematic stuff with Bob Knight that isn't there with Hurley. But I mean, he's I feel like he's just about as hated. And again, it's like he has a self-awareness. Like, people have emotional outbursts. I covered a guy who screamed, and it did not say, go fart yourself, by the way, our senior executive assistant, regional manager, producer. But then you have to just throw these excuses in. You know, I appreciate Jay Billis this week just being like, yeah, you, Dan Hurley, you have to be better. And I wish he said that only and didn't try to have to throw in this, oh, you know, what's for the combatants. Now, BS, man.
You know, every now and then
I need to stop ranting about this.
Every now and then it's okay just to, like, if you're Dan Hurley, to come out and say, yeah, I screwed up, man. Like, I got caught up in the heat of the moment, and that's what it is. And then the story goes away. Like, it just goes away if you do that. Again, like, this idea that it's the sacred – that's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard, the sacred space of the tunnel. Like, this is stupid. Like, just every now and then it's okay to say, yeah, maybe Dan Hurley, every time he loses a basketball game, shouldn't come off the floor yelling and screaming at somebody as if it's somebody else's fault. Let's start there, and then we can work on everything else.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like, there's the accountability part of this is, if you're always finding someone else who's the boogeyman, the refs, the media, it seems to be a little bit of inability to just look in the mirror. And I don't think that's, again, he's a great coach.
Yeah.
The guy won the last two national championships. But I think that's something that's a big picture thing to work on there.
I would agree with that. And also, like, that is, like, if you're going to do the job and you're going to be a college basketball analyst, I understand that you're a former coach and you've got some relationships here. But if you're going to do the job, do the job. Do the job and be an analyst and take the bias out of it. If you're not going to do that, then don't do the job. That would be my advice to Greenberg.
Yeah. And, you know, look, it's just, some people are better than others. Like a guy like Fran Fraschilla, who I think he's actually going to become Kansas's radio guy or radio analyst. I think he does a great job. He's friends with all these guys, you know. But he doesn't go overboard, especially like shaking his finger at fans about stuff. You know, and that's really what it comes down to. But I just think I think Jay Billis is one of the best analysts in any sport, and one of the big reasons is because he's not afraid to like piss somebody off, and I think that's you look around and unfortunately that's in a little bit shorter supply than it should be in that world.
We'll have Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports coming up next. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans and all things NFL. Check out this week's Nashville's Best Deal. It's Boomba's Pizza and Watch Bar, just in time for the NCAA tournament. Score half off a $30 gift card and enjoy their award-winning pizza and handcrafted beverages. Visit them in Nashville, Spring Hill, or Murfreesboro, and visit thegamenashville.com/deals while supplies last. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.